SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best hour of your day now is officially underway. It's Moneyline on a Thursday morning, and boy, do we got a doubleheader in Major League Baseball tonight. We got an NFL game tonight. We got to get you set up for the weekend's action. The WNBA with an action-packed game number three last week, and I've said this many times this program, people. I coined this phrase, get in the mix out here. Get in the mix, Kevin. Come on now.
They'll put it on the right side statue, that phrase. That's pretty good. You know what? I think that's good of you to. The dogs heard the phrase, Donnie. They perk right up. I'm glad you mentioned the W, because I think anything that they do good that isn't on a Sunday, I want to give them all the credit in the world for. Again, the Sunday starts are nuts. If there is a game five, it's going to be on a Sunday. That upsets me to see. But they are in the midst of having an incredible finals. Down to the buzzer, one overtime game in their belt already. The Ionescu shot last night was absolutely incredible. One of those where, Donnie, even if, you know, if you're up, right, maybe you're not locked into the game, but you get an update kind of come across your plate. Like, you know what, man, let me toss this on quick. You turn on in time. You see the shot go down. You give it a little bit of love.
Yep. And I haven't watched 1 second of playoff basketball.
No, I know.
But I do respect the craft, and I do think that league is headed in the right direction. And in the future, maybe they can start to – think about this, Kevin. Would it be better for the WNBA, and I'm being serious here, that they go and instead of playing in the summer, they just play during normal basketball season? Like, why can't we do that?
You're saying just that the league should already be done?
No, the NBA is they're never going to play as many games as the NBA. I just don't think that makes sense, if that will.
Yeah.
But they can play 45 games, 50 games. Why can't we play their games during basketball season? Why can't we start January 1st and run it through till late May or June? Like, why can't we do that? When people have that, like, that we want basketball at that time. You know what I mean? Like, why can't they fit in on that?
I don't know. See, I don't think we need to make that request, Donnie. If anything... This will sound weird, but I wonder if that league is almost better off fighting to keep their attention in the postseason, but getting it easily during their regular season. Because, Donnie, we gave them a lot of eyeballs during – now, it was a unique season. We'll see how it translates year over year, no doubt, right? But I also think it's due to the fact that the – best players in women's college basketball can come in right away and be noteworthy. Mm-hmm. I think they always want to be able to give themselves that quick turnaround to where next year we're like, ooh, Paige Beckers is going to be making her debut, and people will be excited for that.
Because I always just view it as, you know, like the NFL. Like, I want football in football season. Yeah. I don't want football outside of football season, which is why every single league outside the NFL, hey, man, spring football, it's atrocious. The product stinks and nobody wants it. So that's just the way I'd say, like, during basketball season, give me as much basketball as you can. But it does make sense the way they do it, where, yes, you graduate the players, you get them right into the league and you play it. I just want that because I understand the ratings are much better this year in the playoffs than they were in the past. But at the same time, I just feel like you have such good momentum in the summer where you actually hold it with Major League Baseball. And then in your biggest part of the season, it falls off the table.
Here's my thing, Donnie. The sport issue is baseball. And it's not only the eyeballs that drive. And look, I know this is going to it's a complaint that I shouldn't make because it's been this way forever. But if you watch these Yankees-Guardians games, these balls get hit. You pause the TV. You're like, hey, how far do you think that went? 400 dead, right underneath it, the center fielder. Like, baseball not only, again, we shift focus now with a million other things going on. But you're no longer playing in baseball weather. I don't think anybody's snowing out and be like, oh, this is great for football, right? Or it's a little brisk, and, oh, this is football weather. Baseball weather is June, July. And our most important games aren't played in June, July in Major League Baseball. Our least important games are played in June, July in Major League Baseball.
I like the changing the weather in baseball because it means baseball weather. I just think it changed. But you're right about that. Like, I had Pete Alonso last night. I thought he hit a home run in the third inning. Didn't. And, boy, if he did, it would have cashed in a parlay for me. But it didn't. But I get you on that. It is a different sport almost that they play because it Major League season is like, hey, how good are your starting pitchers? Major League playoffs, like, we don't give a damn if we have one starting pitcher. We're just going to throw 19 arms at you tonight and see if we can beat you. So it is wild the way it does play out. But I am enjoying the Major League Baseball. Last night, boy, what an anomaly. Like, the Dodgers pitching staff to play their last five games and have four complete shutouts. And it's not like, hey, you know what? They had three different pitchers, Kevin, go into the ninth inning. Basically, no. It's like 15 million pitchers getting thrown at you. I'm so intrigued by it. Otani hit one to the moon last night, late in that game. The Dodgers to go, we're going to blow you out in game number one, Mets. Oh, game number two, you're going to get us? Yeah, watch us blow you out again in game number three, which leaves it to say, you know what, how long is the series going to go? But I've really been enjoying Major League Baseball in the playoffs, but you're right about this. I'm not really enjoying Yankees-Guardians because I like the Yankees. Yankees are a big market team. Yankees are fun. Yankees crowds are fun. But you're playing Cleveland. And I understand there's people from Cleveland probably listening in Ohio. If you just moved on with this series and got the Yankees into the final against either the Mets, which I do think will be a good series, the rest of the nation might not buy in as much. But if you get Dodgers, Mets, which you have now, they're tuning in droves. If you're going to get Yankees, Dodgers, it will be one of those like, hey, look at this, baseball's back because look at the statistics. And that's no, it's because you have two big markets that spend a lot of money and have absolute stone cold superstars. That's why we like to watch the game. Great story out of Cleveland. I'm sorry. Don't sell me Jose Ramirez on the biggest stage. He is one of the best baseball players in America. But if you put him up to the average fan, here's a picture of this guy. I have no idea who that guy is.
And I think even too, Donnie, like just to give J-Ram a break, go beyond him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Stephen Kwan. Stop.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the, you know, if you go from team, right, Otani, Judge, Lindor with the year he's having, I'm not saying Jose Ramirez is those level guys. It's Soto, Mookie Betts, Pete Alonso, Josh Naylor, Manuel Clase, you know.
Would anybody even know there's two Naylors on that team? Like, wait a second, did I read that twice? Yeah. Why am I saying Naylor twice? Like, no, he actually has another Naylor on the team. Yes, go ahead.
Well, that was kind of the thing where, and you know, I probably should have brought this up at some point, but you know, as much as I was like, I'm going to lose my mind if we are playing all these CSs and none of the bye teams advance, three of the four bye teams advanced. So I think if you're baseball now, it's less panic mode. I think it's ironic that three of the four advanced during the season where it was like, yeah, there are zero good teams in Major League Baseball. But again, that's how it went and that's how it played out here. I'm really interested to see what Yankees Dodgers will do because it is the most box office thing that you can get. It's Knicks Lakers, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's Cowboys Chiefs, I guess at this point.
Nah. Cowboys 49ers, like in the NFC Championship game.
Okay, yeah. So is there even an AFC equivalent, Donnie?
No, I don't think there's an AFC equivalent. No.
You're probably Cowboys Niners NFC title game. Yes. Like Yankees Dodgers is everything you could dream of if you are Major League Baseball. Everything you could dream of.
Yep. And the fans would like it because the East Coast, West Coast, everybody buys in. Somebody's going to hate L.A. Somebody's going to hate New York. They'll watch it anyway. And some people are just going to like good baseball with superstars and people will watch. And also the contrast of let's go out to L.A. Games like, you know, 72 degrees. Let's go back to New York. The game's going to be 48 degrees and windy. Angry crowds in New York. Passive aggressive crowds out there in Los Angeles. It's great. It's great theater. And I hope it does line up because that's also a very fun series to bet. A lot of RBI props, a lot of base hit props, strikeout props across the board. So baseball, I think, is in a really good spot. Two games today we're going to get to because I do have some angles that I like, particularly from a Guardians side of things today. So that'll keep you tuned in. Denver and New Orleans tonight, we'll get to that. And other hot topics like the quarterback saying, like, he doesn't feel he's played good enough this season. Find out which quarterback is saying that next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go get them, guys. Hey.
SiriusXM Channel 159 right here. It's Moneyline, baby. If you're also watching at Sports Grid On Demand, the best way to watch our show and reach out to us. The chat box is live and open. The boys are popping out here. Cale Davenport, Akbar's in there. Jordan P., the X-Man, all saying hello. You got information shared in there. You have questions about the boys on the air, say it in there. Now, Kevin, I was going to go to a quarterback here who had a quote that told me, or that was saying, I don't think I played good enough. I'm being real with you, if I'm being real with you. I want to get to that because sometimes you scroll over things that aren't supposed to be hot topics. You don't expect to talk about them, but when you see them, you got to let it go. I'm going to give you this headline, Kevin. Jets superfan Fireman Ed says team is phasing him out at MetLife. Let's just start there. How do you like that headline?
That's a big one for Lisi. Is that a real headline?
That's front page ESPN headline.
You know, now, man, again, if I was more of like a character, like, but I'm not, like, I think people should know that. You immediately just double down, look at what Rodgers is doing. He's ruining this organization. He's taking away everything that made them good. But I'm being serious. Like, is that Rodgers' fault too? Like, is he not? I don't understand it. Like, is he like, this guy isn't an active firefighter. This doesn't work for me. Like, I'm not following how he's being phased out.
It's like new sheriff in town. Like, hey, by the way, for 122 years of Colorado Buffaloes football, when we score, we play the fight zone. Dan goes, now, when we score, you play my son's rap song on here. I say, wait a second. Where did this come from? How is this change getting made? But 5 years, I'm going to give you a quote. Quote, I don't know exactly what's going on, but they're phasing us out. Anzalone said in a video posted to his Instagram account. Quote, I'd like to know if somebody knows anything, please let me know, because it's evident that it's happening and it needs to stop because we need home field advantage.
Hold on.
I told you. It's a good story.
Okay, hold on. First of all, them playing Shador's song, right, after they score.
Yes.
Is a little different because if Shador and Dion weren't there, they may never score, right? Mm. Rodgers has done nowhere near as much for the Jets as Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders for Colorado. Now, I understand if that upsets Colorado fans, but they've earned a little bit of sometimes, like, you don't have to worry about the tradition. We're going to build our own. But what I'm not following, okay, Don, we've seen the Jets on primetime a few times.
Yes.
And each time, the ESPN broadcast takes the shot of Fireman Ed starting the Jets chant. Yes. So this guy is being so little phased out that he's actually making national television. So where is he being phased out? I'm not following.
Says Ed Anzalone, more commonly known as Fireman Ed, and said Tuesday night on social media that the Jets were limiting his screen time on the video boards at MetLife Stadium during home games. So let me understand this, right? I could see, like, it is tradition they do the Jets chant. And they always, I'm assuming, in the stadium. Last time I went to a Jets game was, I think, 1999. How about that? Watching little Keyshawn Johnson out there playing. I don't remember if Fireman Ed was there or not. He probably was. He's been there a long time. But if they're putting him up on the board, like, to start the game, which is tradition, J-E-T-S, Jets, gets a crowd going. Well, does he feel like there's supposed to be, like, a camera that just sits in his aisle that when he's ready to go on camera, he alerts them and goes on? Like, what am I missing? Like, I'm not a Jets fan, and I do like super fans in a way. But I love that an ESPN story is this fireman is angry because he feels like, I used to average 16.6 screenshots per game at MetLife Stadium. Now I'm down to 13. I got to find out what's going on. Like, come on now. And also, wasn't this the guy, which I need somebody to let me know, that renounced the Jets a couple years ago? Like, he was no longer going to be a fan of the Jets? Is this the same fireman, Ed?
Yeah, I'm here again. This is only a story. Again, this is the funny bit of it, right? I've been really frustrated with how Rodgers has approached this stuff. And this is the easiest take the ball and run with it topic. Look at what Rodgers is ruining kind of thing, right? Well, that's why this is probably on the front page. They're probably trying to stir up Rodgers is changing everything with the Jets because it's such a bizarre thing, right, that you just try and look for an answer somewhere. But To me, Donnie, and I don't know what we've got there with the couple
of
moves, but
yeah, we do.
But all I'm saying is, it seems like Fireman Ed is being a little delusional here, in kind of the approach.
Now, how about this though? So I'm now I just like punch it. I want to do a little research. I put like Fireman Ed hates the Jets or something like that, just to try to get something to come up. Now, from yesterday, yeah. New York Post, headline, Jets fans disown Fireman Ed after he reveals beef with the team. Can we trade him? So now, see, without getting to both sides of the story, Kev, right, I'm leading into it like, hey, they're just looking like, look, man, you're old, you're done here. But apparently now, do we have a beef? Because the first way to get not recognized as a team, as you are not even a paid person of that team or front office, is to say, I don't like this Jets team. You got to keep putting me up on that screen. They're not doing that. What is this?
Yeah, I'm not understanding what's happening now at all. Now we've kind of lost the plot.
So he
feels like he's not getting a star treatment. He's taking umbrage with the Jets, and Jets fans feel like he is being rude. I mean, this is a little nuts. This seems to be a little nuts.
He did, by the way, he did renounce his fandom in the butt fumble game on Thanksgiving night 2012. So he does have beefs where he's like, I'm no longer a fan at this point. But there you go. Beef with the franchise doesn't get you into that stadium and on the board. So there, what's he mad about? You're angry with the team. They're not putting you on the video board as much because of it. That's what happens.
Yeah, I fireman that here is a losing battle. Battle.
We're going to have to bring this up tonight on In Game Live, right? You know what I mean?
Get a couple graphics. In Game Live.
Graphics, Fireman Ed. Maybe put Lisi as like a Photoshop instead of Fireman Ed's head. We put Lisi in that costume there.
The Energy Joker.
He's a Jets fan. Energy Joker, Miami Dolphins. Now, all right. So this segment only got a couple seconds left in it. I want to set the table and talk about this quarterback because it leads into a lot of things taking place tonight, this weekend, what the expectations on the quarterbacks are, how you can bet these games, because you are getting bargain discounts across the board in Thursday Night Football tonight. Whether it's rushing props, passing touchdown props, passing yards, receiving yards, it's all there to be had. We could have one of the most fun nights of all time tonight, or one of the ultimate duds. That's up in the air. But let's talk about quarterbacks this weekend and where they factor in. There's a lot of big football games. Kevin's not here on Friday. I want to get him take on some big time college football action as well on Saturday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ryan Batko tweet I'm going to read to you, Kevin, right now. Ready for this one? Steelers quarterback Justin Fields has said he's preparing like he always does and hasn't been told yet who's starting Sunday night. Asked if it'd be frustrating if he goes to the bench given how he's played, he says, quote, I don't think I played good enough. I'm just being real with you, end quote. How about that, Kev? Opening the door, right? Not even my guy thinks he's that good. Ooh, I'm going to make Lisi read this multiple times tonight. How about that? Well,
Mike Tomlin, coach of the year vote, might have just been submitted. Might have just been submitted. Man. Not because he's making the right decision, but him convincing Justin Fields of the right decision.
Wow. Yes.
That's mind tricks.
Now, what did he do, Kevin? Brought him into the office, sat him down, and goes, son, you want to play in this football league ever again? You're going to say this to the press. He's like, you know what? Like it here in Pittsburgh. Might have a 15-year backup career with your coach. I know we'll ride this out. I'll let you know out there. Because that, first of all, the two things don't go hand in hand. They absolutely know who the starter is. They are putting in their game plan starting on Tuesday on their off day and Monday when the players aren't in the building. They show up Wednesday, and who's taking all the first sting reps? It's Russell Wilson. That's the starting quarterback for this week here. But it is interesting to see. But by the way, I always want to knock Justin Fields, but he's handling this exactly the way you are supposed to. I don't think I played my best football. If he says, Kevin, hey, by the way, in front of the mics, what do you think about if Russ starts it? Yep, I'm out. Just cut me. Just cut me tomorrow then. He can't say that.
Well, okay, look, I'm not telling you you're correct. He cannot hit the stand and say, yeah, I mean, I think it's a ridiculous decision. I'm sat here at 4-2. I've only thrown one interception. I've ran in five scores. There's no real way that you can tell me that we're making a move that's best for our football team. We're making a move that's selfish for Russell Wilson and his ego. Would he be wrong, Donnie, if he said that? I mean, he wouldn't be. He wouldn't be wrong if he said that.
He has to, he's playing the smart game here, which sometimes I like to see out of quarterbacks. He can still be the winner here. Let's just say Justin Fields comes in, his first six games that they played, ends up 4-2, which he did. Fantastic. Russell Wilson takes over, doesn't look all that good over the next two games. He takes back over. Never played the fiddle of, you cheated me, I hate this football team, I can't trust my head coach, and then becomes a decade starter in Pittsburgh with big money. He's playing it exactly the way a professional should play. And I told you, I like the move. I like the move going to Russell Wilson. If he can give you a spark, and that doesn't mean 300 yards, it just means, hey, look, George Pickens actually wants to play football again because I can hit him in the numbers from 5 feet away, which Justin Fields sometimes struggles to do. But also, if you can use Justin Fields, I'm telling you right now, touchdown props for Justin Fields, Kevin, just like Taysom Hill, I'm all over them every single week, and I will love to bet it.
I mean, listen, that's you got to be getting a good number. If you got to be getting a really good number for the non-starting quarterback. I understand what you're saying, packages and things like that, but 4 or 5 to 1, anything less, I wouldn't bother. But Donnie, you're talking about how like Russ can hit Pickens in the numbers. The first like 2-3 weeks, Pickens and Fields were completely on fire. Okay. I understand that that's regressed a little bit, but that they are still winning football games. His rushing ability is something that legitimately Russell Wilson does not have. And Donnie, we're not having a debate over, but come on, man. Like, I know Big Ben's not looked good for a while, but it's Big Ben. Russell Wilson has never played a game in a Steelers uniform, has been playing bad football for 2 seasons. This is a ridiculous move. There is no, this should be crushed. Like, I just made the joke about Mike Tomlin, Donnie. This move should be crushed unanimously across the board. This is a loser move. And that's what, and that's the only way to look at it, Donnie. You don't think they're better with Russell Wilson. That's nuts. There's no way.
I've knocked Mike Tomlin in the past because he is very good in the regular season, and that's all he cares about is that football game, not the future of the football team. How can we win the football game this weekend? And for the first time in a long time, I looked at Mike Tomlin and said, you know what? This guy gets it, man, because he understands. It's about winning late in the season. It's about winning in the playoffs. Justin Fields not doing that for you. It's just not.
And Russell Wilson is? Yes, come on.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Russell Wilson can play point guard at quarterback. Justin Fields can't do that. He can't. Donnie, he can't
Russ
hit the broad side
either.
Of the barn. But if I get Russell Wilson last year on the Denver Broncos, that same Russell Wilson this year, leaps and bounds better than Justin Fields at quarterback.
No, well, not even close.
Not even close.
No, you're completely wrong.
Justin Fields'
QBR this year is better than Russ's either season in Denver.
I don't care about QBR. Give me the actual passer rating then. We want passer ratings out there. We want touchdown passes.
Why?
He's thrown 5 touchdown passes.
2024.
Can't live. If you want to win 10 games, keep Justin Fields. You'll get your head cracked in round one in the playoffs if you make it there. If you have a quarterback that can deliver, if you have a quarterback that's done it in the past and can throw an 8-yard slant on time, that's your quarterback, not Justin Fields. And by the way, Justin Fields is a wide receiver in this offense, opposite Pickens. Ooh, we're cooking. I'm telling you, we're cooking right now. Justin Fields will be a big player on this team, just not a quarterback.
Time to coil up that garden hose.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, it's Russell Wilson week. We all missed it. We loved it. Sierra's going to be in the building. Big game against the Jets. Boy, why can't we put the Steelers Thursday night? Why couldn't the Steelers game be Thursday night?
I mean, yeah, I got another question for you.
Juice in the room. Yeah. What do you got? Yeah.
What do you think the Russell Wilson passing yards prop is going to be?
Good. First game back?
Yeah. Jets are, I'm
two
telling
maybe?
You. I've never.
Two? 205?
Walking right backwards into the losing side of the argument. I you know what it is, Donnie, actually?
What?
New take. Yeah. Mike Tomlin agrees with me, disagrees with you. He's putting Russ out there to end this charade once and for all. Let him get destroyed by the Jets and then run Fields for the rest of the season. The Jets are allowing 148.8 yards per game against the pass, second best in football.
Uh-huh.
What do you think that Russell Wilson passing yards prop is?
I'd say around 200,
right? 182.5. No shot. It won't be 200. No shot. No, it's not out yet. It's not out yet.
I think it'll be around 200. Let's go 200.
No shot.
What were his numbers last year?
No way.
What were his numbers last year? What were his numbers last year? I don't remember any bets.
There's no way. There's no way. I'll try and find.
I mean, if Spencer Rattler's getting 185 or something, or, you know, Bo Nix 190 tonight, why not?
Josh Allen was 197 against this team.
Yeah, but he didn't have any wideouts or any weapons at all. And he was on the road.
So last year, Russ averaged 204.7 yards per game with that.
Yeah. I'm going to go somewhere around 200.
And all right. You think? I don't think it's going to be that high.
I don't think it's going to be that high. But also, like, the point of the yardage itself, again, insignificant to me. Like, I just need my quarterback again, hand the football over, hand the football off, and make the 8-yard out route. That's all I need. That's all I need on a consistent basis.
Again, I don't know why you're still talking about Russ like he's been good. Like, that's what that's kind of the disconnect for me.
But again, it's not about Russ being good. It's a quarterback, like when we go in the back, like here's, if you can equate, like we've all had friends growing up. You go in the backyard, you go 10 feet apart. You have some friends that are throwing that spiral right at you, like, hey, this is nice. You have some friends that every other pass going over your head or hitting you in the shins. That's Justin Fields. So all I need is my quarterback to get the football, 3-step drop, be able to throw an out route here to get the offense in gear. Justin Fields can't do that. He doesn't do that. That's not what he does.
But the yards per pass attempt for Fields this year and Russ last year are the exact same. Like, I think you're forgetting what Arthur Smith wants to do with his offense, which is run the ball the whole time.
And again,
so now you're going to make your rush attack worse.
No, your rush attack doesn't get worse. Your rush attack, because Justin Fields is dynamic.
Hold on.
Hear what I'm saying? You're missing my complete argument here.
No.
Justin Fields is very inconsistent. Your offense can't win football games if it's inconsistent in big moments. Quarterbacks that can win. The Brock Purdy effect. Just be elite in the pocket at the simple short throws. That's all. And your running game and your passing game will open up. Wide receivers will run their routes now because they know if they're open, the football will get to them. Wide receivers right now, like George Pickens, look like he wants to quit the NFL because his quarterback is not consistent. That kills an entire offensive game flow. If you just have a quarterback that plays point guard, Justin Fields cannot do that, which is why I say Justin Fields can be a huge part of this team. 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, bring him in, elite prospect. Goal line packages, bring him in, elite prospect. Same way I talked about a couple years ago with the New England Patriots and Cam Newton. I thought they did a huge disservice by making Mac Jones a starting quarterback and then cutting Cam Newton. That could have been the perfect marriage for, we can still make this work. Fields can be Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is a massive part. Look, Taysom Hill's been out. That team looks like it flat out sucked. When Taysom Hill was in there, that offense was on cruise control and beating the hell out of everybody they were playing. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The best of both worlds. Justin Fields still being active in the offense, but not your quarterback on every play is the best of both worlds. That's what I'm saying. Fields is a better athlete. May use him short term. Fields is not a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. He's not.
But so again, here's kind of, there's two parts of that for me. Okay. A quarterback's ability to run in 2024 is a part of the deal. Okay. Because we can't just evaluate quarterbacks in 2024 based on their ability to throw. Because then Lamar and Jaden Daniels are significantly worse than they actually are. Instead, they've both been basically top five quarterbacks this season, right? But the other part of the problem, Donnie, is Russell Wilson last year, 66.4 completion percentage. That's worse than Fields this year. The season prior to that, a 60.5 completion percentage. 60.5.
With Nathaniel Hackett, yes.
No doubt. Okay, Donnie. And then he had Sean Payton, right? And was benched with about three or four games to go.
Because of his money. Right. Yes, agree.
Right. Well, right. But Donnie, also not because he was playing all that well. Like the statistics are there, Donnie. Russell Wilson has not been giving the teams that he never gave Denver average quarterback.
It was a bad fit.
He didn't give Denver average.
What was his touchdown interception rate last year, though?
Last year, he did have a big touchdown season somehow.
That's what I mean.
26 touchdowns.
But no, Justin Fields is never going to be able to give you that move. Like again, we played six games, he threw five touchdown passes. That's Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones ran five in. No, but that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant when he ran five in. He has 10 touchdowns through what, six games?
When I said run it, no. What happens? Like you just hand it off then and run the football?
No, because they're not the same.
Can still do that, but he can still do that. What's his longest touchdown run of the season, Justin Fields? Do we have that?
I'd have to go and take a peek at it. I can assume
he probably has ran the majority of inside the 10, which is exactly where you love him. Yeah. I don't want Justin Fields operating my offense on my own 30-yard line. He can't do that. But you know where I want Justin Fields operating my offense? In the red zone. He can absolutely do that because he can run. You're right. He can't be the reason why he's not in Chicago, they threw him out like a baby with the bathwater. Like, you know what?
Well, we got to get a guy that can pass. No.
What do you mean, no?
They threw him out because he got the first overall pick.
Exactly, Donnie, see, hold on. He wasn't good enough. You were the one arguing also to have Justin Fields stay in Chicago and trade the number one overall pick, which is ludicrous.
No, I wasn't.
Nobody wanted that because he can't pass. Well, who was that?
I wasn't.
I'm making that up.
I don't know. I don't said that. Probably B double S. I never said that because he's probably hanging on to Big Ten stuff. I don't know. No. But Donnie, hold on. I didn't say it, but guess what? People were saying keep Fields in Chicago instead of drafting Caleb. So don't say they ran him out of town. That's not what
they ran him out of town. Yeah, anybody with a brain knew there was no way you can keep Justin Fields because he just isn't a good quarterback. Great athlete, 1,000%. Can he play in the NFL and be a backup quarterback? 1,000,000%. If you want to win football games in Pittsburgh, which they haven't done lately in the playoffs, you got to be able to throw the football. And he can't do that consistently. There's nothing more demoralizing than on 3rd and 8, Kevin, a guy's wide open 10 yards down the field, and you basically hit the mascot in the head on the sideline. You can't do that. The best of – and Tomlin realized, you love Tomlin. I'm usually knocking the hell out of him. I'm actually giving him respect for a first time in a long time. He understands we have to have an offense that can throw the football with timing and in rhythm. And Justin Fields can't do that. If he could, he'd never be considered for the starting quarterback job, not having it at this point. But we watch it. Have you watched the games? Justin Fields is really bad. He's really bad at simple throws, and you can't win like that. You just can't.
Yeah, I think, again, one of the big disconnects in this conversation between you and I is what you think Russell Wilson is going to do.
But see,
I am not.
If you told me right now Russell Wilson's going to throw for 165 yards per game, I'd still take him because that probably means he's 10 for 15 on the easy throws, not running around back there trying to complete 8-yard passes and throwing the balls at your feet. That's what I'm saying.
But right, you're asking me if I've watched the Steelers games this year. Have you watched Russell Wilson in the last two seasons?
Yes.
Because what you're saying is no. Because, Donnie, he's not done that since he left Seattle. What you are asking Russ to do, he does not do. He has been atrocious since he's left Seattle.
He wasn't atrocious last year. Last year, he's probably better than Justin Fields ever was last year with his touchdown to interception ratio.
True.
You cannot win the NFL with Daniel Jones at quarterback. You know who your Justin Fields is? He's Daniel Jones at quarterback. Tomlin knows that. Everybody knows that. The move is right. Can't wait to watch you play out because we're going to get the 7-yard slant pass, baby. It's back. George Pickens. He's never been more excited.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Conversations, people. That's what we're after here. Big college football weekend, which I do want to get to in just a moment, but I wanted to sneak in some Major League Baseball. You do got a doubleheader today. It is a fantastic card. 5:08 p.m. I mean, my goodness. Does it get any better than that, people? New York, you're off work. You don't got to stay up late. You can make it into the building tomorrow. Yanks looking for a 3-0 series lead. Favorite at -120 in this game. Dodgers and Mets, 8:08. Absolutely fantastic. Both of these games you can watch. If I have my druthers, one game's at 3, one game's at 6. But hey, they didn't listen to me on this one. That's just the way it is. Dodgers -136 as favorites here. I do like the Cleveland Guardians in this game. Not to win, Kevin. The 7.5 total, they're the underdogs. I like their team total over 3.5. It's +102. 8 batters in this lineup tonight anticipated for Cleveland will be lefties going up against Clark Schmidt. The one side in the past month that he struggled with immensely, it's been with left-handed batters. So I'm just taking a flyer, same way I did in game number 2 for the Mets. I said, you know what? Even though the Mets got shut out, their matchups make sense tonight. Took the Mets over 3.5. It was a little juicy on that -125, something like that. They easily got that cash in the second inning. I'm not saying Cleveland's going to walk over Clark Schmidt, but I just like the matchup tonight at a plus money price to get 4 runs, and they can still lose this game, and I can still cash my ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes plenty of sense. It The home teams look interesting a little bit today, right? I think the, you know, in game number two, the Mets, to me, Donnie, I know Yamamoto was awesome when they needed him in that fifth game, but he was also then pretty bad in game number one. I think sometimes it's always, what have you done for me lately? But you should always remember what they've done throughout. And I think Yamamoto could be had by the Mets lineup a little bit. So that would kind of be my look on the baseball board. Mm-hmm. I think if you are the Yankees, though, it's really interesting, right, Donnie? If you lose this game tonight, it's all good, man. You're up 2-1. Yeah. Grab the next one, right? But the thing with the 2-3-2 format, which I really don't like, but I know, but for baseball, it is the appropriate format. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. You start going 2-2-1-1-1-1-1 with
days off all over the place.
Yeah, because baseball's not built for that many days off, right? Like basketball is, which is fine. Yeah. But I've never liked if I have home field advantage. The idea to me is, with home field advantage, you win your home games, you advance. You should never trail if you win all your home games, which is what the Yankees would do if they lose out in Cleveland. They'll be facing elimination. They need to win two in a row. Yeah.
Yes.
If you are the Yankees, again, it's not that it's a must win, but if you get the win tonight, you know that you're done. You know deep down in your heart, we're through. And then the same way the Guardians, deep down in their heart, they know we can't beat this team. And it just alleviates a level of pressure, Donnie, where all of a sudden you lose tonight. Now you head in the second game, down 2-0. Oh, gosh, here we go. Here we go. Yep. So I think it's an important game tonight for the Yankees to get the job done with Clark Schmidt.
It is important because you don't want to give them life either. A 3-0 down deficit, you're never coming back. And the Yankees know, like, we could even blow these next two games, still got two in New York, which is why I thought that game last night was so big in the Mets-Dodgers series. Because Mets, Citi Field, that place was ready to ignite. They don't see big-time baseball all that much in New York anymore, at least from a Mets perspective. They win that game and go up 2-1. Now you're starting to get that avalanche of the Mets can do it. The Mets are the team that you didn't want to face. Now we might not even get back to Los Angeles. They smoked the Mets last night, and all the pressure's off and goes right back to the New York Mets. There's no more house money with the Mets. Yesterday would have been like, hey, you know, win this one. Oh, we'll see where you no. Now you have to win. So there's no more cute, like, oh, it's been a fun season. The Mets actually have to win that game tonight, which Yamamoto's on the mound taking on Quintana. Quintana's been very good for the Mets this year. Here's the crux of the argument. He's been sensational as a left-handed pitcher against lefties and righties. He's been dominant. But that Mets, you know, rotation leaves a little bit to be desired. I think he might be the best pitcher that they have. But now, you look at that Dodgers lineup over the past month, absolutely crushing left-handed pitching up and down that lineup. It's going to be interesting to see because Quintana is one of those pitchers, Kevin, that is great for modern-day baseball. The reason I bring that up is in the 1980s, he probably wouldn't have lasted more than 2 years. Like, wait, you're not going to throw a strike, but you expect us to swing at it? Like, players didn't do that back then. There was no analytics. Like, let me just make contact. Mm-hmm. Let me keep an eye. Now it's like, you know what? You throw a pitch anywhere near this plate, my only job is to try to hit it into the seats. And if I don't, analytically, like, instead of getting a single, it's better to strike out, I think, sometimes from analytics perspective. But if he's not throwing strikes tonight, they could light him up. The Phillies, they'll swing at anything you throw, which is why Quintana looked like Cy Young out there every time he took the mound. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. I do think, however, Kevin, the 7.5s are now gone. And they're now 7s across the board with totals. I didn't think that game would get to 8 runs. But now you're going to need 6 to pick up a victory. That gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think sometimes with the baseball totals, you know, you get into the playoffs and a 7 will be out there. And you're like, come on, this team's going to get at least 7. And then it's the bottom of the 6th and you're just begging to push.
Yes, correct.
You know, it's always tricky to me. I think one of my favorite things that you've kind of, you know, taught me, honestly, through baseball betting is, like, yeah, I got a team over a run. You know, it's like you're betting them not to score 2, to score 1. You get your money back, right?
Yep.
It's just kind of that calm effect. But in the same way, right, like, hey, I'm playing under 7. Like, I'm not playing them to score 6. I'm playing them not to score 8. And then we just kind of rock it there. Like, I really have loved that approach in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, because it's hard. Because the thought process is like, you know, like, hey, I got a team total. I bought it down to 2 in the first 5 innings for a team, let's just say. And it's like, well, you think they can get to the 3? It's like, no. They get the 2 in the 3rd inning. You go, I got a free roll for 2.5 innings. That's all you can ask for in gambling at that point. And if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But for me tonight, team total for Cleveland, I'll look at the RBI props a little bit later tonight and see if any bonuses come up. Looks like 365. They have the touchdown. But by the way, one of the better boosts, Kevin, is Bet365's touchdown or $10 per touchdown bet. The primetime games have been on off the hook the last couple weeks. It's a minimum of $50 that you bet, and you get $10 per touchdown. Like, I've been betting some of these at $50 and losing them and finding $80 in my account the next day. $50 in my account, $60, $70. Whereas, like, FanDuel used to be like, all right, $10 per touchdown, maximum 3 touchdowns. Like, you can't get your money back. But these have been some of the more fun. But tonight might be a stretch. Like, if you bet 50, you want 5 touchdowns. We'll see if we get 5 touchdowns tonight, but the past few games have been real profitable in that mode here. Yeah. Would love to try to put something together on FanDuel, but hey, maybe some things need to happen differently. Stretch. Let's talk about that football game tonight and see where it goes. A lot of fun here. It's Moneyline in the morning right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
What a little bit of money, Kevin. Monday Night Football. Could have been an unbelievable night. We could have been dancing in the streets by the time the fourth quarter even rolled around. So let me take you back to this play. Breece Hall, like a shotgun on the left-hand side of the line, breaks three, full speed against a DB, flat-footed, one man to beat. He gets tackled. The guy to the left of my chair says, I'm on the over. That's awesome. He got tackled. I try to ask him why he likes the tackle as opposed to the touchdown. He said it was good for the over. Couldn't figure that one out. Then a few plays later, I'm standing next to the TV, walk in the end zone on a 3rd-and-1 from the 4 or 3 yard line. We got this. Awesome. Let's watch the rest of this play out. Flag comes in, ruins my whole night. That's where I was on Monday night.
Did you end up making money with that game, though? Or tiny did that kind of...
Yeah, like a tiny bit. Like, if we include, like, again, bonuses and stuff like that, I probably came out $20 ahead as opposed to being a few hundred dollars ahead if that touchdown did happen. Because, number one, the Jets would have won, which would have cashed a ticket. And also... Yep. The Breece Hall would have won because I needed anybody to score a rushing touchdown. So I shouldn't say Breece Hall. Anybody to score a touchdown, which Braylon Allen got that. It's one of those where it's all set up. It looks fantastic and just didn't work out. And the worst ones, Kevin, were sometimes like, hey, man, my guy got hurt in the first quarter. I didn't see anything coming at it. Oh, well. Or I just didn't go. But that one should have been a night where the fourth quarter had so much juice because everybody already popped their numbers. Like, yeah, let's just see what happens now.
Yeah, it was one of those games where I did well with the Josh Allen passing that it covered for the fact that Breece Hall not scoring there cost me winning basically like every bet. Like I could have won all of the bets, right? Yeah. Like luckily, you know, I was playing a lot of stuff with plus money and things worked out, you know, in the specials markets and within the game. It is still totally, totally insane to me that he did not score. Like I didn't tell you, like Kurtz, tweeted at me, which I thought was funny. He's like, yeah, I think he got tired towards the end of the run. And it's like, you know what? If that's true, cut him. Like, he's like, if he got tired as an NFL running back because he hit a 40-yarder and couldn't finish off the final five, like, that can't be possible.
Like, it's the equivalent of like Devin Hester back in the day lining up the punter, knowing like, all I have to do is stick my left foot in the ground and go right, and this guy's just going to fall down and crumble. And he stuck his foot down, the right foot, while he was up against the sideline to the left and just got tackled, basically saying, if you don't tackle me, you're easily going to just push me out of bounds anyway. Unbelievable that happened. But it did happen. Tonight, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, 2.5-point line. There's threes a lot out there. I never in a million years would I say to myself, Kevin, I like a rookie quarterback on the road. I actually really like this rookie quarterback on the road tonight. And it's not because I love Bo Nix. Number one, I have a better coach on the Denver Broncos sideline, coming in with a lot of ammunition tonight saying, I used to be here. Watch, I'm going to beat you on your own field. There's something to that. Is it a huge handicap? No, absolutely not. But Bo Nix has played multiple games here, and he's been the ability to say, I can throw the ball between 30 to 40 times if you need me to and have moderate success doing that. My weapons on Denver are better than my weapons here on New Orleans. My offensive line on Denver is better than the offensive line on the New Orleans Saints. I don't want to overcomplicate this here at this point. I think Denver is there. Am I going to take a side? I don't know yet. Took the Jets, lost. Probably should have won that one, but didn't. That's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I do think Denver wins this game tonight. I do.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I'm leaning Denver, but the numbers climbing so much so, I don't know, I could revert back to New Orleans. I see this game tonight, Don, and I do get a little dejected, knowing that the New Orleans Saints spent 2 weeks as the best team that football's ever seen, played the Eagles, lost a pair of offensive linemen in the process, and then by the time they lose a close one to Atlanta, their season completely collapses. It's like they're over 10-1 now to win the South. They looked so good through 2 weeks. They jumped to the favorites to win the division. So it's just really frustrating. I'm being serious. It's frustrating when I see their games. And you've got Kamara out there now in a can-you-do-it-all-for-me kind of spot. Someone texted me 95 plus rushing yards each quarter. Kamara.
Frizo.
Yeah, sending me the message. I was like, ooh,
it's not maybe. A solid bet with me, because if I'm looking at, I don't think anybody runs away with this game. Like, I don't think it gets to the point where Denver's up 21-3 in the second quarter, right? So if it's not the case, you have two rookies. You know it's going to be a sloppy game as is, because two rookies preparing for their first Thursday night football game without a full week. That's going to be tough in itself. You figure both running backs should have 15-plus carries apiece. You figure they should have somewhat some success, but I just don't think New Orleans is all that good as the angle and playing. Now, tonight, when the boys are in studio, giving out much more plays here, I am looking at some sides with the running backs and also the wide receivers, maybe a tight end or two, but the thing we love about a 36.5, it means those numbers are extremely low. JP and Chris behind the wheels of steel for Kevin, for Donnie. See you tomorrow on a Football Friday. The boys live in studio tonight. Keep it right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.